shy when I get around a whole lot of people. And I can't figure out why I never can shout about the love that floods my soul. I must confess, I can't express the feelings deep inside me, the things I know. So loud, it may sound like thunder. My tearful eyes may fill the skies until it looks like rain. When I leave this world, past the gates of pearl, and stand before my Savior, I'll let my soul let the glory roar, and from the roar he calls my name.
Sudden, you feel like the Lord saying, "Nah, let's take it this direction." So, well, we'll see what we can do there. Some of this is familiar. I have found that as I teach, then there's some things that I make assumptions that we're on the same page, and then I find out later, well, we weren't quite on the same page. So what I'm doing is kind of backing up a bit and teaching why I'm on the page that I'm on. And then you can take it from there. Now, it's obviously misspelled. It's supposed to be insecure. It's what it would normally be. Finding security in an insecure world. Everybody has insecurities. The world we're living in today is unsecured. There's a lot of doubts going on. Even with this election, they call it the most important election we've ever had. I don't quite see that. I've seen a few the last several years as being very important. And it's important because whatever's decided, the world's going to change. No matter who's elected, the world's going to change. And we become, the world has become more unsecured because so many people think, well, it's all right for people to go out and riot and to destroy things. And they back off because some thinks that's going to get them votes. They don't understand what anarchy is. And I won't get into politics, but we're living in a very unsecured world. Everybody's trying to do, got one country trying to overcome the other country and trying to overcome another country. They're doing it subtly. They're doing it through electronics, through the internet. There's different ways they're trying to get in and sabotage each other. I'm not just saying Russia against the United States, China against the United States, because the United States is doing it just as much to them. So people grow in fear. Now, that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about today. No, it does, except that you know, we have some security. Our security isn't in this world, though. We have a security in knowing where we will be when we escape this world. And that's where our security comes from. Now, I've taught this different ways at different times, and I feel like Paul sometimes. Okay, I'll say this, and then people take it the wrong way, so I'll go back here and correct it, then they take that the wrong way. Let's try to keep that pendulum stop right there in the middle, because there is middle ground. Now, I'm going to start with something familiar. Romans 12, verses 1 and 2. We've been there before, I think. We should have covered that at some point. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. It's your reasonable service. In what way? Well, I profess Christianity. I profess that Jesus is Lord. Lord of what? Well, Lord of my life. Lord of the kingdom. Lord of the earth. Jesus is Lord. So it's a reasonable service for us to present our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and acceptable. Present your bodies as living sacrifices. How do you do that? Well, the Bible says we're supposed to behave one way. And if we behave contrary to that, then we're not submitting ourselves. We're not yielding ourselves to God. We have to work on doing what He says. We have to work on doing what the Word of God has taught us, that it plainly says. We have to work on those things. It's a part of our salvation, and that's the part I'm going to talk about. It doesn't mean that we don't have salvation. It just means that when we proclaim that we are saved, when we accept Jesus Christ, there are certain things that should come about as a part of that nature, as evidence that we are doing that. It's not a question of, well, now we have to really buckle down and try the best we can to do the law. That's what Paul is preaching against when he says that the law was nailed to the tree. And where there is no law, there's no transgression. The transgression he's talking about comes from, like the Jews, if you'll remember the Jews, when they got to Mount Sinai and Moses was saying, you know, I'm going to find out what God wants us to do. And they say, hey, whatever it is, we'll do it. And over 2,000 years, they proved they couldn't do it. And that's the first thing we've got to register in our minds. We can't do it. And that's where we get into trouble, because we think, okay, you know, the Bible does definitely say that we need to be conformed to His image. We need to be doing what the Word says. The works of the law are still ours to perform. We must do those things. But we can't do them. So we acknowledge that. I have to submit myself to God. How? Well, I will do the Ten Commandments. No. You won't. It's already been proven you won't. It's already been proven you can't. How many more years did we need to be under the law before we understand that we cannot do it? It has to be by faith. Do not be conformed to this world. So we're talking about conforming. We're talking about a gradual change. I'm going to change my nature. I'm going to change the way I react. I'm going to change the way I behave. But we still have the same choice. Am I going to do it after the world standard? What thus saith Discover TV? Or are we going to do it by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? How do we prove it? We're proving it by living it. But we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Not giving more effort to not sinning, but we have to renew our minds, because that's where it begins. We can talk about someone who's constantly an alcoholic. I mean, they're always getting drunk. They're always having problems with alcohol. And we can go to them and tell them time and time and time again, if you don't stop getting drunk, you're going to go to hell. And they're going to say, gosh, I never thought of that. I'll stop drinking today. They already thought of that. They already know that. Why are they getting drunk all the time? There's some other problem in their life. Only God knows how to get to that. So we have to commit ourselves to God and say, I need to change what I'm thinking. I need to change the way I'm thinking. And you think of all the programs out there, the 12 steps, the, what did we have? Celebrate Recovery. That's what they're all geared towards. You know, one may call itself, you know, say we've got 12 steps to recovery. Those 12 steps are changing the way you're thinking. And that's how that comes about. How we change, how we stop the sinning, change the way we think about it. Okay, we're transforming our minds to stop thinking the world thinks about it. Drinking doesn't hurt. Getting drunk isn't a big problem. We got to stop thinking that, and what does God say? It's a mockery. Strong drink will make a fool out of you. And God didn't raise no fool. Had to stretch for that one. So that you can prove what is. In other words, you're going to prove it by living it. His word doesn't need proven. Yeah, proven. It doesn't need to be proven. It's true. What has to be proven is us. And you transform, as you transform your mind more and more, you'll start acting according to the word of God. That's the way your mind thinks. That's the way you act. That's the way you become. So let's go on. Hebrews 5, 12 through 14 says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. For you have come to need milk, not solid food." Okay, hit them between the eyes. He's telling, by this time, you should be teachers. Now, the first thing I want you to notice, the main thing I want you to notice in that, is that he's looking for a progression in their relationship with God. There should be maturity coming. You should be growing from the carnal thinker to the idle person. I can't believe I forgot that word. He gives out everybody talents. To the wicked servant who took the talent and did nothing with it. Well, I might mess up. That's what he's saying. I know you're a tough ruler. I was going to do the parables this morning, but we're not now. But I'll just throw this in there. He knew God was a strict ruler. He knew that he was tough. So he thought it's safe. Rather than risking messing up, I'm just going to sit on it. I'm not going to do anything. That way I can't make any mistakes. But he found out that's the worst mistake you can make. We're to grow into what he has for us. And you'll remember each one of them had different amounts of talents according to their faith. And it doesn't mean this person had more faith than the other. It meant that their faith put them in a position of higher responsibility. Their belief in God put them in a place, position of higher responsibility, not only to the people, but to God. And they each received those talents, but the one who said, "I'm afraid I'll mess up, so I'm not going to do anything," he said, "Well, that was the wrong thing to do." And the point that I was going to make in that, since it kind of goes with this, is that we receive something from God. And he was a servant of God. He was a child of God. If you want to translate it fully, he was a child of God, and he decided, "I'm not going to do anything. That way I can't make any mistakes." And it cost him his salvation. Now we teach how strong salvation is. We teach about that kind of security. And I've read umpteen books this week. I don't know, I mean, 3 or 4 books. Dealing with different aspects of salvation. There are those who believe in what's called eternal security. And I hate to put labels on anybody, because very rarely do people fit what the label says. Not entirely. But this thing called eternal security means that once you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, it doesn't matter what happens the rest of your life, you're going to heaven. Well, the parable of the talents proves that's not true. Amen. It doesn't work that way. There are things required of us as children of God. Now, if we are doing what Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us to do, if we're earnestly and honestly doing that, then your salvation is secure. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Unskilled means that you haven't done it enough. You don't know how to live it. You don't know how to walk it. You don't know how to perform according to the word of God. For he is a babe. Solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. By walking according to the word, does that mean you're going to be successful all the time? No. But it does mean there should be a noticeable change. There should be fruit that comes out. And you should be able to say, I mean, if you've only been saved a year, you should be able to say, okay, I'm not the same person I was a year ago. 10, 20, 30 years later, if you're still going on that same thing, I'm not the same person I was 30 years ago. I used to, well, you said that 20 years ago. What's changed since then? Amen. It's a progression. It keeps going. It keeps changing. Amen. And sometimes it becomes, to some people, it sounds like foolishness. And I know people take what I say different ways, but you know, when I talk about the food obsession, that's where I am. That's where God, what God is dealing with me on right now. He wants me to change the way I eat. He wants to change the way I exercise, or the lack thereof. So God's dealing with me on that. And some people say, that's silly. No, it isn't. It's just as important to me as drugs are to the drug addict, as alcohol are, the rest of them. It's just as important. When God says, you need to work on that boy, then I can go to hell because of that sin just as much as an alcoholic can go to hell because of his sin. There are different things and different stages of your life that God expects you to deal with. Jesus may return before I overcome it, but as long as I am in my heart truly working on it, then he's going to recognize it and his grace will cover the rest. But I know I still have 2 Peter, the first chapter and the 10th verse. Wherefore, rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. You can forfeit your salvation. It is a possibility. But he says, if you will do these things, if you will do what God has called us on as far as submitting ourselves to him, humbling ourselves before him, getting into his word. See, if we don't get into these Bibles, if we don't get into them and we don't read and we don't study and we don't learn. Oh yeah, but I read a lot of books and I watch a lot of TV preachers. 9 times out of 10, those are going to mess you up. They like to just give you the candy. You know, they don't follow, not all of them, I shouldn't be all inclusive, but many of them do not follow what the will of God is. They follow what the Nielsen ratings are. Well, when I preach this, we draw more people, so that must be God. And that's not always the way it works. You remember, when Jesus started the tough teaching, people deserted him. They abandoned him. It doesn't always bring in crowds. But he said, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Diligence, you know, you can think about it, things that you've asked people to do for you, things you've asked kids to do for you, whatever the situation may be, and you walk by and they're just twiddling their thumbs and not really doing it. Or you go out and Dad used to do this to us. We had to get the weeds out of the yard. And we weren't allowed to use a hoe to get the weeds out. We had this little thing with a fork on the end of it. And we had to go out and pull each one up by the roots, each and every one of them. And he said, using a hoe, you don't get the roots. I want the roots out of there. So, you know, and then he'd come and inspect it. But he came out once, and I was sitting there, I mean, almost laying down on the ground, you know, getting one out. Well, to him, that was loafing. Get up and do the work. You're loafing. Well, at the time, I thought that was rather harsh. But I have to admit, yeah, it kind of was. If I was up doing the job, it would get done a whole lot quicker. Maybe not any better, but it would get done a whole lot quicker. And see, we're sometimes not diligent in our relationship with God. Even those who read the Bible every morning. Some mornings, now, you know this is true. There's just those times when you got to do your daily reading. You read it. Okay, I'm done. You don't really give it diligence. You're just doing it, giving it lip service, say, okay, I read it today. There was a time when everybody was saying, I've read the Bible from cover to cover. And at that time, I'd been preaching for a while, and I said, I have never read the Bible cover to cover. And everybody went, huh? You're the preacher, and you haven't read the Bible from cover to cover? Don't misunderstand. I've read the whole Bible, but I didn't sit down with Genesis 1:1 and read all the way to the end, just read through it. I didn't see the point in that. Now, Cynthia has read cover to cover how many times now? Yeah, many, many, many times. Nothing wrong with it if you take it seriously. Every time she does it, I say read through the Bible, but she'll get to a verse and then she'll stop and say, well, wait a minute, what's this say? And I didn't catch that last time I read this. And then she'll start studying that topic. Give diligence to it. Be taught by the Word of God. I'm more of a topical person, so I go through the Bible and I find out what different parts the topics are about. Now, since then I finally, they guilted me into it, because back then it was just like you were unclean if you hadn't read the Bible from cover to cover. So I went ahead and did it for them, and it wasn't with due diligence. But I did read it. And then I went back to my topical studies. There's things that the Bible is trying to teach me, and it doesn't, right now, it doesn't do me any good to read about and study on how to be saved when God's telling me this is what you've got to fix in order to stop overeating. I need to learn more about, okay, God, what's wrong that I have to eat so much? And He will reveal it to you. Then you start studying those scriptures that deal with that particular subject. Sometimes it's just lust of the flesh. Amen. Why do I eat so much chocolate? Because I like it. It's pretty simple. But you can't do anything wherein is excess. And when you start eating something that's delicious in excess, then you're sinning. Now that's what God's told me. Maybe He's not shared that with you yet. So, you know, don't go, oh my gosh. Just, and don't use it the other extreme either. And say, I'd mow the lawn today, but you know, it's just too much excess. I don't want to do anything in excess, so I'm not going to mow. I've heard people do that. In the 11th verse, He says, for so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I wanted to get that verse in there because it may explain what He's talking about. He's saying, make your calling and election sure, for so an entrance shall be ministered to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's how we ensure it. We want that assurance. We want to know. And I was reading one of the books. Actually, this guy was just putting down another guy. I hate those kind of books. Well, this guy said this, and this isn't the way it goes. This is the way, you know, and it's just teach. Don't go putting down people. Anyway, he was saying, and I'm doing it now. I'm not going to tell you the name, though. He was putting down this guy because he taught something similar to what I'm teaching you now. And he said, no wonder people have a problem with security and they don't have any confidence in their salvation. They don't teach eternal security, so you could lose it tomorrow. You don't know. And so he takes it to the other extreme. you do know. It's just like everything else in the kingdom, in this world. It goes according to your choices. God said, I have set before you life and death. I know that's Old Testament, but he does it, he makes it even more true today. I have set before you a life in Jesus Christ, or death without him. Choose. Choose what you're going to go. You make the decision. It's all up to you. If you want eternal security, then act like it. There are those who were Christians that in Jesus' parables. I'll teach this more solidly another time, maybe, if God gives me permission. But you had 10 virgins, meaning that they were all Christians. They were all saved. 5 were foolish. They were lazy. They didn't do what it took to keep themselves built up. When they got to the party, to the dinner, they said, well, they knocked on the door and said, hey, let us in. They said, I don't know who you are. Go away. They weren't able to enter in. Too many people think, just because I went to the altar. Yeah, we used to preach, just because you have your name on the membership rolls at a church doesn't make you saved. Well, let me tell you, just because you went down the altar in that church doesn't make you saved. That gets you started. And in time, we're going to find out if that was sincere or not. Did you really repent? Or was it the emotions of the moment? You must repent from your heart. You must decide, okay, this has got to change. It must change now. God, I repent. I'm sorry for all I've done against you. And I'm going to do everything I can now to live for you. Amen. Too often now, the pulpits are giving people excuses to sin. Oh, it's all right if you sin. You're not under the law anymore, you're under grace. So it's all right if you sin. Read the whole Bible. It's not all right if you sin. And if you do it willingly, you make a mockery of Jesus Christ, and you're twice as damned. You cannot behave that way. You cannot make a mockery of this grace that we walk in. It is a serious thing. He gave his life for this. And we must give our lives for him. He makes it plain, Peter does, that we need to be changing. We need to be growing. And that's how we secure our salvation. You do have a secure salvation. You do have security in Jesus Christ. You will sin still yet. But Jesus already died for that sin. And you're persevering towards God in what he wants you to correct and what he wants you to grow. And primarily you're transforming or being renewed or being transformed by the renewing of your mind. You're not thinking about things the way you did before. You bring every thought into subjection to Jesus Christ. And that's a beginning one, and that's a tough one in itself. I've heard people say, well, if you think about it, it's not sin. That's not what Jesus said. He said, if you do think about it, it's sin. How much you think about it. Now, there's thoughts that's going to pop in your mind. That's temptation. But when you grab that thought and say, well, let's think about this a minute. Then you get into sin. So he says, Paul said, bring every thought into subjection of Jesus Christ. Bring every thought into subjection to the Word of God. Read John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, because the Word is Jesus. Jesus came into the earth. Jesus was the Word. The Word became flesh. And we have that Word with us. We have to know what the Bible says about things, not legalistically. See, the thing that Jesus took care of, remember, he is our sacrificial lamb. He took away the punishment that was due us. He That's the part of the law he did away with. There is no punishment. And it's just like the ones now. Everybody's got to wear masks in groups. It's not a law. There is no punishment. A lot of people don't do it. And that's what a lot of the Bible talks about, is that we get to that place with God thinking, okay, there is no punishment for this sin, so I'm going to go ahead and do it. And they're going to find out all they're doing is building a case to go to hell instead of heaven. We have to be diligent in our walk with God. It's a requirement. We must do that. And that's all I'm going to cover for this morning, and maybe it'll be the parables next week. We'll wait and see what God says. Bill?
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home.
Open door, and I can't be like